On Valentine's Day, send a thank you card to his or her mother.
What? Thanks for the sweet POA, Mrs. C. Love, John. Welcome to Hey You Know It, and happy Valentine's Day to all of our listeners. We kind of love you, I guess we could say that.
Yeah, I guess we love our listeners, actually. Yeah,
we also love Twizzlers.
Well, I am Katie Casimir.
And I'm Jaquetta Samari.
So, happy Valentine's
happy
Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. You are a senior, or your parents are seniors.
Yeah, okay, you have someone in your life who's a senior, who is wanting to hook up with someone.
So this is some advice from the AARP for our segment Advice on Advice, where we take advice that we think is unqualified and stinks.
And improve upon it by giving advice on that advice.
Yeah. So this is from the AARP, and it's titled, When Moms Got a New Boyfriend. Even if your kids are adults. I know the idea.
Wait
of my
a minute,
mom
but who's
it.
Reading this? AARP is for the 50 plus. And yeah, so and if their parents. So
No. It's not if their parents. It's called When Mom's Got a New Boyfriend.
Okay, so it's like, all right, you're 50.
Yeah. And it's by
Madonna.
Dr. Pepper Schwartz. So even if your kids are adults, introducing them to a new partner can be tough.
Ugh, it's awful.
Right? It says, and this is in the dating after 50 section. So don't be too quick to believe them. Children are protective of their parents, not me. No matter your or their age. They tend to think no one is good enough for a mom or dad. Anyone is free to date my dad. And no one's motives are pure, especially not my dad's.
Ew.
And every new person you bring around is either a gold digger, a spendthrift, or someone who will tear you away. Things get even touchier when you put sex into the equation.
Ew.
Who is doing that? Who was bringing that into the equation?
Well, if you're thinking about it, if the kids are thinking about it, it's like it's very unnerving.
The parents thinking about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. It's hard enough for kids to think about their parents in bed together, much less someone else. All right.
Some stranger.
Yeah.
Getting,
so
your mother getting some strange.
Yeah. Some strange, just from some local old dude in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So it says number one. Have a conversation. No.
No.
I say no.
No.
This is already horrible. Even if there's no one special in your life, talk to your adult children about why you want to meet someone.
Why?
I'll be damned if I'm going to stay in the room for this conversation.
If you have an adult child, don't you realize they know why you want to meet somebody and be
but
in a relationship?
But why are you even bringing it up? Because they're trying to lay groundwork here.
Yeah.
Convey your feelings of being lonely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wanting affection and missing having a partner. You could even hint that in the absence of companionship, you might have to lean more heavily on them. So threaten them.
Yeah.
If I don't get some I'm going to be all over you.
I'm going to be Sunday morning at your house making brunch.
Yep. Every single day I'm going to be at your house. I think it's already terrible.
You have that talk with your mother or father when you're about the birds and the bees, and now you're going to have their
birds
and
about
bees.
Their old-ass birds and bees. It's like, come on, you have to remember, even though you're both adults, you're still mother and daughter.
Yeah.
Or mother and son.
Gross.
This is like two old friends gabbing. Number two, it says, lay the groundwork. When you're starting to date, mention to your kids that you might make mistakes.
Yep.
I don't want to hear that somebody's mom gave the neighbor a BJ and now she had to do the walk of shame and regrets it.
I lost judgment there.
I may have done and said a few and worn a few things that I'm not going to be proud of at church.
I just might. I just might, and you're going to have to get used to it.
Yeah, and urge them not to be too quick to make judgments about the new flame. So basically you're saying, look, there's going to be all kinds of men and maybe some women.
Yeah, we don't know.
Here.
I don't even know because I'm going to make mistakes.
Don't judge.
Yeah.
What to tell the kids when their relationship gets serious.
Yeah.
Prepare your partner. Make sure he knows about any information that you shared that are absolutely private and not to be mentioned in front of your children. Does something seem funny here?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
So you've told some random dude that your son is in the closet and you're like, don't bring it up at the meal. Helen's a junkie. Don't bring it up. Don't say anything about Abby's boobs.
You'll be looking right at them.
Yeah.
You'll want to really stare, but just don't look into the nipple.
Don't look into the nipple. And then number five, have another conversation. Yeah. Oh, God.
There's a lot of talking here.
Yeah. If they're worried about financial matters, let them know that you'll take measures such as a prenup that will protect you and their interests as well as the future. This is for gold diggers out there. Yeah. What if your mom is broke as shit? Like, good luck, gold digger. And then get it out there.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, your kids will have to get used to it, or you'll never see them again, I put in parentheses. Or, and if you're happy, they will likely be too. When are people going to realize that you do not want to hear about your parents' exploits?
No, nobody ever does.
No.
And don't imagine, don't delude yourself into thinking that anyone wants to hear it. But you ever, like, tell your stupid friends, you know, over bridge.
Yeah. The same way that you would do when your kids were younger and you would keep your personal and sexual life out of their business.
You still keep it out.
Don't bring it to the sandbox.
Yeah.
Keep it under wraps.
Just everything.
Yes.
Just be, and when you bring this new fella or lady to the occasions, just be, everyone asks, who is he? I don't know.
Yeah. Just say.
That's a new friend.
Yes, yeah, say a new friend. And everyone knows what that means.
Yeah.
Everybody is okay. And people will probably be like, oh, that's nice. Mom has found a companion. But if you start talking about what you guys are doing.
Bojanskis.
Loneliness. Making mistakes.
Emotions.
Doubt. Prenups. Sex?
Ugh.
This is not appropriate.
I'm just disgusted.
People. Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, Pepper Schwartz. Boo.
Wait.
Boo.
How dare you?
Yeah, I don't want to hear about this stuff.
All right, so pull that back.
That's our advice on that advice. All right, happy Valentine's Day, older folk.
Yeah.
Keep it under wraps.
Well, I have here some Valentine's Day tips, and I know that Valentine's Day, you know, everybody is coming to us for the tips, and so I found Greg's favorite 1001 Ways to Be Romantic.
Sweet.
Not to be confused with your Greg, your husband.
No. And these are free tips?
Free tips.
Okay.
One of them is gift wrap a wishbone in a jewelry box. Sent it to her with a note saying, I wish you were here. I wish my jewelry was in a box.
I wish, is the wishbone made of silver?
No, it's just a dirty old
wishbone.
Hopefully dried out.
Hopefully dried. If it still has some marrow in it.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Ew.
So that's terrible.
Send your loved one a chicken bone. That might be a hate crime.
Gallantry never goes out of style.
Sorry. Are you okay? That's just like a cultural error right there. Interracial dating. Like, a chicken bone.
Oh my God, could you imagine opening up a box
and there's a carcass?
Hey, wish you were here. It's like, and you know, you can't even put it together because you're staring at a bone.
A bone.
Like, oh, it's a play on words, wish.
I guess. That's not wishbone. What I would think.
It's awful.
I've never actually seen a wishbone. Outside of like a Dickens novel. So I don't know what I would think.
I don't know what I would do. If
somebody sent me, I would think it was a chicken bone and I would call the ACLU. I wish you were here.
On Valentine's Day, send a thank you card to his or her mother.
What? Thanks for the sweet POA, Mrs. C. Love, John. What? And how's that going to reflect upon? Oh, the mother going to be like, John sent me this lovely note thanking me for your sweet POA. Yeah. I don't even know what that means.
I was in labor with you for 9 hours.
Yeah. You're welcome. What a load of old crap. Okay, what else? Is that it?
No,
okay.
There's plenty more.
Yeah, it was 1001.
Yeah. Remove all the little paper strips that say kisses on them from the Hershey's Kisses and fill a jewelry box with them. Wrap them and send them up as a present. Again, putting shit in jewelry boxes.
That's not jewelry.
You... Bones and strips of paper.
Seriously, because that woman is going to think, this is it. He went to Jared's and it's going to be a nasty old chicken bone and some smutty looking paper.
Yeah,
it's like it's been in
chocolate.
The dirt.
Yeah.
Do you get the chocolate? You don't even get the chocolate.
No, you don't even get the chocolate.
Just the paper?
And then they're like, oh, write a clever certificate explaining that the little paper slips are coupons redeemable for one kiss each. Ew.
For the actual kisses.
Yeah. That's disgusting.
That he's eaten. Gross.
Surprise your partner with an unexpected 3-day weekend. Now, this is what you have to do. Arrange it ahead of time with the boss. So the day is off.
Yeah.
Okay. So Friday, you're off. But the person has no idea. Your lover has no idea.
This is a good one.
All right. So just picture the scene. It's a typical Friday morning. You both get up at your usual time. You shower, get dressed. Over breakfast, you turn to your unsuspecting partner and say, "Oh, by the way, we both got the day off work today. What would you like to do?" And after your partner recovers from the shock and showers you with kisses and thank yous, you plan the day together.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? If I had the day off and nobody told me and I got up at 6:30 in the morning and showered and put on my work clothes and had breakfast.
Yeah, stop me before I do all that.
No, they're saying do that. And then the surprise is before they walk out the door. Guess what? No, come back.
You need to tell the night before as you're going to bed that night.
Yeah. Guess what? But they want to do it this way. Uh-huh. Like, oh, guess what? You were all bummed out.
I might just go to work anyway. F it.
I'd be like,
yeah. Really? Now that I'm in a two-piece pantsuit, I'm out of here.
There's another scenario. It says, Tom arrived home from running errands one Saturday morning. So he's been out all morning.
Am I going to have to do math?
He got home, his wife was gone, and his daughter handed him a note saying, go to the drugstore, see the pharmacist. And then he was like, why? Someone's sick? What's going on? Runs to the pharmacy.
Condoms.
And then they had some romantic music playing in the car. And the pharmacist handed him a card that said, happy anniversary. Now head for the liquor store. So now he runs to the liquor store. And they give him a bottle of champagne.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, ready to celebrate? Not yet. Go to the men's shop first. And he has to go to the men's shop now.
What's a men's shop?
A men's with like a Joseph A. Bank.
Okay. Like big and tall men's. You have a men's shop.
Yeah, there's a monogram
shirt. Haberdashery.
Yeah. Monogram shirts are waiting for you there. Okay. And you get that. And then there's another note saying, almost done. Now go to the grocery store. And mind you, he has already been out. He already ran his errands.
Yeah. So what does he get at the end?
He gets to go home.
All that for something that happens every Thursday anyway. Yeah. Who cares?
Oh, yeah. Then he has to go to a bed and breakfast, which guys don't like.
No, they don't. They don't like him at all.
Yeah, so that sucks.
Those are really complicated and not very good.
And everything also they're suggesting to be romantic is to put everything in the shape of hearts. Now, do you know that heart shape that they're talking about is really an ass?
Yeah.
It is a woman bending over.
Yeah.
Heart-shaped ass.
It should be on a good day. It should. So they put everything in, or it also looks like boobs.
Yeah.
If done correctly.
But it's more ass.
Yeah.
An ass man invented that logo.
Of course.
But they're suggesting all different things that you can make into hearts, like cut the kitchen sponges into hearts.
Would I even notice that?
Have a heart-shaped pool built.
Quickly.
Yeah. Trace a heart shape on fogged-up windows.
Okay.
Get a quilt with a heart motif.
Okay.
Grill burgers in the shape of a heart.
In the South, yes.
Band-aids with heart designs. Have them ready.
And then cut a bitch. When she pulls out the Band-Aid, boy, won't she be surprised. Okay. I'm going to have to say, I think it's best to just go with what I always like to receive for any occasion, a C-note.
Or have
fold that into the shape of a heart.
What about a heart-shaped jello mold? And then put heart-shaped banana chunks in it.
Are you serious?
Like, yeah, 51 and 52.
Oh, he needs to stop. This is terrible.
Cut the toast. It's like he went around his kitchen looking at all the food. The toast and heart shapes.
Well, when he said the heart-shaped sponge, I was like, he's run out of ideas.
And he went on to, out of toast, you know, get the toast cut into a heart and then fry an egg in the center. And then Rice Krispie treats cut in a heart. Everything. He just went around his kitchen.
I looked online in some men's sites.
Oh, yeah?
To see what they should do for Valentine's Day. And I saw a lot of things that were like, for Valentine's Day when you're cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same stuff. It was like, buy a single rose. You know, like a trail of roses to the bedroom. Right. You know, all that kind of stuff. But one thing I saw that was really interesting that I thought was actually nice, if you can do it, is to recreate your first date.
Okay.
I think that's a good idea.
That's it, because that shows thought.
Yeah, if they can remember it. Which
why
I'm guessing
most of them weren't.
They won't be able to do it. So I did some research on the history of Valentine's Day.
Oh, good. What'd you come up with?
And not surprisingly, it was originally a pagan holiday that, as you would say, the religion has somehow smeared itself on top of it. It's not named after a Christian saint, and it's not a Christian day.
Well, I knew that. Yeah. I knew that part, but I didn't realize it was after.
It started out with the Romans celebrated a holiday on February 14th to honor Juno Fructifer, queen of the Roman gods and goddesses and the goddess of marriage.
All right.
So for their ritual, and this is interesting, I thought, women submit their names into a box.
All right.
On a piece of paper. And then the men pick out the names. And for that, for the duration of the festival and at other times throughout the year, they were a couple.
Oh, so it's like a key party that exactly. goes on and on. Oh,
where it's like a sexy secret Santa without the Santa part.
Okay.
So the rituals were designed to promote fertility, but also life in general. That's not a bad one.
No, it's not. All right.
Unless you pick the centurion who's just known for like not, for just bad deeds.
Yeah. Like, the centurion. Like, oh, I got Paul.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I got a Minimus Dickus. So that was February 14th. All right. Then on the next day, the Romans celebrated Lupercalia, which honors Faunus, the god of fertility. So men would go to a grotto of the wolf god, and then they would... So apparently this is where, like, their Romulus and Remus were suckled by the she-wolf, you know, that whole get-up thing. So the men would... they would sacrifice a goat.
All right.
Put on the skin.
Ew.
And then run around hitting women with small whips.
Wow.
Yeah, and if that ain't Roman...
That's pretty Roman.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to get hit by a whip?
Yeah, it was a little, it was a playful thing.
It was
thing.
Like a little, like
so
a
this is, these are, imagine, you know, like the dudes from the 300, butt okay. naked.
Oh, nice.
Wearing a goat skin.
Why don't they do this now?
I don't know. Because guys aren't in shape anymore. That's why.
They're not doing it.
And also goats. Goats not so popular. So that's how the thing started off. For fertility, for, I guess getting your freak on.
Yeah, you gotta.
Then a Christian priest, apparently during the rule of the Roman Emperor Claudius II had banned marriages because people were getting married to avoid military service.
All right.
So then this priest was like doing the marriages in secret and they were saying he was Valentine, but it had really nothing to do with it. This guy was breaking the law.
Yeah.
By performing marriages. Then there was another guy, Valentinus, was helping Christians, and he was jailed for helping Christians. And while he was in jail, he fell in love with the jailer's daughter and sent her notes.
Yeah.
And those were supposed to be the first Valentines.
Boy, she must have been excited about that.
So finally in 14...
Cell block C.
Cell block C.
You wanted me to give you this.
I love you. On a rock.
And she goes by to see who it is, and he's like...
Yeah. It's a nasty old priest. In 469, Emperor Galatius declared February 14th a holy day in honor of Valentinus, that's the nasty old priest, instead of the pagan god Lupercus. And then Christians started really, like, taking over, and
they had to make it stupid.
Well, no, they still kept it about love and fertility, and then later on, they kind of took the fun away from it. And then back in the medieval period, it came back to celebrations of love rather than about faith and death. So.
Well, I only know it as the day that people break up with me.
Oh, no.
Or cheat on me.
Has that happened to you? What, like on a regular basis?
Or stand me up.
I try not to do anything on that day. First of all, because restaurant, if you want to get bad service in a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Go.
Go.
Go
enjoy yourself. If you want to get kicked out of your table 70 minutes into your meal because there's some other schmuck waiting.
With a rose.
With
a
panty
rose.
From 7-Eleven. Then go. So that's a quick history of, it has pagan origins and now the Christians tried to take it over. It didn't work. So now it's going back to pagan. So the things that we do to celebrate Valentine's Day now are probably more in the tradition of the original celebration of Valentine's Day. Sadly, minus the goat.
Oh, that's too bad. I would have liked to see a couple of guys running around in a goat skin.
A couple? I want to see a lot of guys doing this.
So much fun.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Which is, but that's how we do it in the U.S. of A.
Yeah.
But, but I wanted to bring up Japan, the way they do it.
Oh, this is fascinating.
This is basically on Valentine's Day, the women have to give all their male co-workers chocolate.
Yeah.
And they don't have to give anything back until a month later.
Yeah, when they have to give them white chocolate.
And they have to give them white chocolate. Oh, but I like when they give the men chocolate, there's the unpopular co-workers receiving the ultra-obligatory chocolate.
Yeah, the cheap chocolate.
Yeah, and if you're a favorite, you get the good ones.
So it's like some people get the Russell Stovers, and then some people are getting, like, Godiva, and then some people are getting, like, handmade chocolates flown in from Belgium. The white chocolate.
It takes all the guessing out of how much they liked you.
The white chocolate thing. Apparently, they first tried it. They tried to make people give marshmallows. People were making marshmallows.
Hey, you didn't know it.
Okay.
Because what happened was, yeah, it was marshmallows. They wanted to be like, and you know who thought of it?
The marshmallow people.
Yeah, the marshmallow person's like, hey, why don't we give out marshmallows as like a give back on March 14th?
So I give you chocolate, and you reciprocate with a marshmallow.
Yeah, so not that he didn't have an ulterior motive, the marshmallow factory, but hey, you didn't know it, that would be turned down because it was in your best interest to...
People don't eat a lot of marshmallow. Now, had he suggested Peeps...
Oh, right.
Maybe that would have worked.
Yeah.
Do they have Peeps in Japan?
I do not know. But that would have been great.
Yeah.
But then the guys don't really have to return the favor with white chocolate. And I don't like white chocolate.
So they should return the favor, but they don't have to.
Yeah. They're expected to.
Mm-hmm. You know? It's not obligatory. I like white chocolate. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on...
I don't like it.
It depends on the kind of white chocolate it is.
Yeah.
So I have something here, since we're in Asia. Mm-hmm. In South Korea, women give chocolate to men on February 14th, and men give non-chocolate to women a month later.
Yeah, that's the March 14th.
On the white day, but it cannot be chocolate. But the people who don't get anything on February 14th or March 14th, no, they go to eat black noodles and mourn being single.
That's awful.
But also in Korea, and I thought this was pretty cool, every 14th of the month is something to do with love. It's like a mini Valentine's Day.
That's nice.
So they have a candle day, Valentine's Day, white day, black day, rose day, kiss day, silver day, green day, music day, movie day, and hug day.
Yeah.
Go Korea. I think that's pretty cool.
That's nice, but I don't like hug day. It's like, because you get every smarmy.
I'm imagining in Korea they probably have some decorum to it.
All right.
Like, it's probably like your friends, family, and loved ones. Right. It's probably not just that Schmendrick in the office.
Who's trying to touch a woman.
Yeah, he's trying to feel
all
you
year
up.
Long.
He's like, sweet.
All month, he's like, oh, God.
It's wine day.
Yeah, woo!
Green day. I don't know what happens on green day.
We have... This Week in Jason Bateman.
Yep. Do, do, do. Are we in Celebrity Corner or are we just doing Week in
Bateman?
I think
we just have to talk about Jason Bateman right now. Jason Bateman and his wife went on a double date with Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux.
I'm sorry. I just fell asleep. What? This is the most... I saw this piece of news also. The most... This is all we could give you this week, people, for Jason Bateman. He's
Jason
not doing
Bateman,
a damn thing.
We support... We don't love him and we're not sexually attracted
to
him.
No, not at
but
all.
But we support him. So this
we're
Valentine's
trying to.
Day...
Support him.
We're trying to, but they went out on a double date, which is lovey.
Yeah. Who's Justin Theroux?
He's an actor that Jennifer Aniston is dating or maybe married to. We don't
and they
know.
Went to Fig and Olive in West Hollywood, which I've been to.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
It's not all that. It's weird. A lot of the restaurant like that if it were in New York, it's like, meh, out there it's a big deal because there's valet parking.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, Jennifer Aniston had organic chicken breast and a dirty martini.
Wow.
But, you know, Jason Bateman doesn't drink. So he had to watch her drink this dirty martini and eat his rosemary lamb chop.
Dry.
Yeah. And everyone split the crostini and zucchini carpaccio.
This is great investigative reporting.
Yeah, you know, Jason Bateman needs to, I don't know, do something.
If the best news that we have is that he did not get drunk and that he had lamb chop.
Yeah.
No.
Rosemary lamb chop.
Rosemary lamb chop. And sadly, that's our week in Bateman. Jason Bateman, please, if you're out there, do something.
Because, you know.
Tweet something. Accidentally drop trial. Do something. Make a funny comment about gay people.
Yeah, give us something about your childhood that we don't know.
Yeah.
Anything. Good God.
Good grief. I really been looking hard to. I have a Google alert. Nothing's come up.
I'm going to have to tweet him or
the
email
fact
him.
That came up is just sad. Who are his people?
They're
get
not promoting
there.
Him, and they're he's not, in all these. Yeah.
He's got a bunch of movies coming out, supposedly. He's got that. What happened to Olivia Wilde's forehead? We were getting mileage off of that.
For a while.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I found here? Some Valentine's Day advice from the barman. Now, if there is nobody who knows about love, it's a bartender.
Yeah.
And this guy, his name is Chris Mulligan.
I'm well acquainted with the barman.
Yeah, 20 years bartending, and he has some advice, which is...
For the V-Day?
Yeah, for guys. You know, okay. Basically, first off, plan ahead. Don't wait to the last minute to try to put something together.
Okay, if I hear plan ahead one more friggin' time for advice, I will shoot myself.
Everybody says that for everything.
Who plan ahead. Thought? Plan ahead. You know what? They didn't plan ahead. That's why they're going to the bartender.
Yeah.
Move on. They planned ahead. They wouldn't be Googling, what the hell should I do at the last minute bar V-Day?
The next thing is be creative. It doesn't take much effort to find a cool, thoughtful, and romantic way to spend a day or evening.
Yes, it does. That's why we're here.
Yeah, it says reenacting the first date, which we talked about, or visiting the place where you first said I love you are starts. Then he says maybe even a stay home in our PJs and watch movies thing would be the right way to go. That's not the right way to go.
No, that's not the right way to
go. That's not creative. That's every night.
I hope
you're
doing things like that anyway. I hope you're regularly staying at home for the day and watching movies in your pajamas next.
Oh, my God. Lose the jeans and tee. Get a little dressed. No need for a tux and white gloves, but a little extra care in looking good makes a big impression. So what slobs are belling up to his bar that he has to tell, you know, wear a button-up shirt?
Use deodorant in both pits.
Not just the one that you hand her the drink with.
Rinse your feet off.
Don't break the bank. Yeah, do break the bank.
Please, you gotta spend on a little something. Money. You're obviously not spending it on soap or clothing. Or plans. Do break the bank.
Sent a gift to work. That's good.
Okay, that's nice.
That's a nice
one. I've done that before. I sent a gift to Greg when we first started dating. I sent him white roses. He was very excited.
Oh, no, it's great to get something
at work. He took pictures
with
it.
Really?
Yeah, and it made everyone at his office was like, wow.
No, it makes everybody jealous, too. And it makes you, it's
I look like a fucking champ.
Yeah. Absolutely. It goes a long way. There's a lot of mileage, everything. Yeah. For the guys, don't buy lingerie. This is presumptuous, unromantic, and shallow. If she's going to give you some... You know, because he knows how to put things delicately.
Does it say that?
Yes.
If she's going to give you some.
If she's going to give you some, she's already picked out something sexy.
Yes. And see, and that's why you shouldn't buy lingerie. We buy lingerie.
Yeah.
For ourselves. Because we know what we're comfortable wearing.
Right.
Because if you let a guy buy lingerie, he comes back with a shoestring.
Yeah.
With like a mint on the end of it. What am I supposed to do with that?
Take it easy. Don't get yourself uber stressed out. Who says uber?
This barman. The same guy who says, get some.
He says he's like, not just to quote the guy at Fast Times on Ridgemont High, but whenever,
50?
To get a girl in the mood, play the side one of Led Zeppelin 4.
Really?
And he's like, haha, like in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, that'll get him going. But the thing is, what they're trying to get you to play is the song Kashmir, which is not on Led Zeppelin 4, it's on Physical Graffiti. So he's not only quoting a movie from like 25 years ago.
It's wrong.
It's wrong. What you're going to get is Misty Mountain Hop.
Yeah.
Good song, but it doesn't get anyone in any mood for anything.
Yeah, I enjoy that song. Wow. Take note, barman.
Why can't we go back to the days of courtly love? Not Courtney. You thought I said
Courtney. Yeah. I'm like, she just won a lawsuit, but I don't know how you're going to tie this one in.
You want to go back to the 1990?
Yeah, so the...
No, I want to go back to, like,
the late... Book of the Rose.
The late Victorian era.
Recent.
Of a lady giving a favor to a knight about to do battle, that kind of
that's
thing.
That's not the Victorian era. Are you talking about, like, the 15th, 16th century?
Yeah, that's right. I'm on a few centuries. Oh, this is your domain, actually.
Yeah, this is what I spent a... way too much time studying this for.
Time and money. So you tell me when this is courtly love.
Well, I'm thinking like, you know, you're talking about like the Roman de la Rose and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
Knights at a Round Table, and when they were trying to put forth the idea of courtly love, which was really about trying to get some.
It's about erotic and love and spirituality in a way of this, like this advanced connection between the two that is so deep and lusty.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're going around porking everybody.
Yeah.
Left, right, and center.
But, you know, it's basically there are stages.
Oh, yeah.
Of courtly love that you have to go through.
And lots of them.
Yeah.
For the guys, it has to be torturous.
That's what we're getting to.
You know, it's torturous. But I imagine when I was studying this that the women were like, is anybody even looking at me? I've got my cleavage out all over, you know.
Yeah.
I've thrown 20 handkerchiefs on the ground.
Yeah, if you're throwing a hanky and whoever picks it up is supposed to be interested.
But he's far away and he's suffering. He's got a headache.
Well,
he's got dry mouth.
Well, there's a declaration of passionate devotion. So he has to be like, I live and die for you from afar, right?
Keep in mind he's not alone because they're so far away at this point that like everybody's just going for the same rose. Like,
and then there's virtuous rejection by the lady. She has to be like, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sir, get out of here.
Please get out of here.
And then renewing with oaths of virtue and eternal fealty.
Yeah. Fealty is a big thing.
And then moans of approaching death from unsatisfied desire and other physical manifestation
also
of love
called
sickness.
Blue ball.
Yeah.
This medieval blue ball.
And you have to moan about it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my blue ball.
Yeah. They're actually moaning, though, because remember, they're physically pain.
Yeah.
You know?
The heart aches.
Yes.
What you feel and see and your emotions were.
It all manifests itself in the blue balls.
Then they have to do a couple of heroic deeds for valor to win the lady's heart.
They might joust.
Wow. So when you see a joust, you know it's coming to this culmination of...
They might go on a crusade, kill a couple Moors.
Okay, one.
They may just get into a fight with someone.
Mm-hmm.
They may snuff out a few peasants. Who knows?
Okay, then right after that, they go for the consummation
mm-hmm.
of the secret love. And secret is the key. Because then you're, from then on, it's endless adventures and subterfuge avoiding detection of this.
Yeah.
And that's what they do.
Because, you know, if they're, the father is always around.
Oh, yeah.
So okay. You get detected and you get sent back out to the Crusades. Like, it's not on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found this, I studied this for a while. I found it amazing. And the more I studied the whole courtly love thing, there's, the woman is the object of it, but she's not really that important. It's really all about the suffering.
Of the guy.
Of this dude. Like, I think if it had been done the other way around, because these women are like, could I just get laid?
And
you know what I mean? You've got these people picking up your handkerchiefs, writing these poems, going out and attacking people and jousting. And at the end of the day, are you getting off?
No.
No. You're just getting older.
Happy Valentine's
Happy
Day,
Valentine's
everyone.
Day from Hey You Know It.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. Let us know anything that's on your mind, especially about any of our segments. If you know anything about Jason Bateman, send us an email.
And if also we're going to be doing a podcast with a theme is President's Day.
Yes.
So if you have a favorite president, I know mine is Garfield, James A. Garfield, that is.
And you'll have to tune in for mine.
Yeah, we'll find out who that is. But if you have a favorite president, please let us know, unless it's George Bush.
Yeah. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. It's free. It's easy. Go ahead and do it. Won't you show me how?
Sexy music for women. They don't. They know what's sexy for them, but they generally don't know what women think is sexy.
Right.
So I was like, you know, a lot of women like Maxwell, you know, some like R&B or something like that. It's not my favorite kind of music, but for mood, you know, that kind of stuff is nice. Something that's a little smooth or whatever.
Some jazz standards.
Yeah, some jazz.
That's
like,
fine.
Older stuff is
Bolero.
Fine.
Bolero.
Yeah. So I asked, I was like, well, what do you think?
Ravel's Bolero.
Yeah, Ravel's Bolero. What do you think is sexy music? And he was like, I don't know, Boston? Boston?
Yeah.
That's what he thought. He was like, that got me laid back in college. I'm like, they were drunk. They didn't know.
Yeah, and it was just music.
Yeah, I remember in college going to a guy's room, and they'd have all kinds of weird stuff on, and you're just like, all right, what? I guess this would be going into this. Yeesh.
Isn't it funny how they have, like, their set thing? They had the remote control.
Yeah. Like that music is what got you. You're like, I'm drunk.
Just
I obviously don't care. I see a poster up there of, like, Jimmy Buffett. I don't care.
You know, I ran out of a guy's, well, I didn't run, but I decided to leave.